Welcome to bedtime story number two. Dear little Felix, this is going to be a fun story because this is going to be the first time you fall for somebody so hard, you're not going to know what happened to you. Now let's get into it. So it is the fall of the year 2000 and you come across this nice gentleman on the internet. Unfortunately, I can't tell you his name because if I tell you his name, you're going to know what's going to happen when you meet him. But that's no fun. This is all about me preparing you for these situations, but not walking into it with all the information, just knowing, again, how important these things are going to be to you and learning how to love and live your life freely. So we'll just call him number one, since he is the first one that you're ever going to fall for. So you meet number one online, having great conversation, and you decide, hey, I think I want to meet this guy in person. You exchange pictures and all that. At that time, when you send people pictures, it took quite some time to download them. So it was kind of a surprise when you finally get to see what they look like, and this one was actually worth the wait. He had beautiful skin and probably the most full, luscious lips you'd ever seen in your life, even though your life hadn't been on that long. But you were taken aback by the way this guy looked. So number one invited you out to meet. I want to say you went to meet at a restaurant, this place called Applebee's. You probably don't know what that is because, you know, I don't know that they even still exist in most places now. But it's just a, like a little casual dining restaurant. You know, as you get older, if someone recommended you to meet them at Applebee's, you're probably going to say no. But at this time, you're just young and just want to have a good time and see what's out there. So you meet at the restaurant and you are taken aback by this man. He is tall, taller than you, probably 6'4", 6'5", because you're 6'3", at this point. And you just were like, wow, I didn't know there's men out here that look like this that I could connect with. It's like all this time that you've been out here on AOL, meeting all these random men and having all these escapades in their home and your home and cars and all kinds of things. And you had just gone through a year in Atlanta where you were really out in the streets and you just had not, out of all these guys that you've dealt with and encountered, you hadn't met anyone that you really were attracted to. They were just kind of like, yeah, he's cool, he's attractive, but there's something about number one that really drew you to him. Not just his looks, but his energy and his aura. And he was just so excited to be around you. And that is what really took you to the next level. So this is gonna sound crazy, and you're probably not gonna believe me, but I would say 5 weeks, 4 weeks at least, you make an effort, the two of you make an effort to see each other every single day. Even if it was for 30 minutes or for 5 hours, you really put in that work and he did too. And that was just like match made in heaven. The other funny thing that you're going to be shocked by is that you actually introduce him to your grandma one night. This is around the holidays. So you were going to be hanging out with some of your friends and some people were coming through the house before y'all went out. And he came by. You know, the other people that came by, your grandma had already met. But this one, she was like, wait, who is this guy? And she loved him, like, because he was so respectful. beautiful and so kind and so attractive. He just was like the right guy at the right time. And then he meets your mom. Funny thing, you were working at the mall at the time, and he came to meet you at work so you guys could exchange Christmas gifts because you weren't going to be able to see each other on Christmas Day. So as you guys are standing in front of the store exchanging gifts, your mom walks up and she's like, "Oh, hi, who is this?" And then after he walks away, she says, I'll never forget it. She says to you, "Oh, you guys are exchanging gifts? That's cute." But let's back up a little bit. So one funny little thing that happened was he actually lived like 30, 40 minutes away from you. And you would trek all the way down to his house just to see him again, like for 15, 20 minutes sometimes, just because you just wanted to be around him. You just like needed to be around him, and he needed you. He needed to touch you and kiss you and talk to you. So you made it happen. It never failed. But there was one time, because he loved you in like little underwear. And I remember you got these little glittery silver thongs from the store you worked at. They were so uncomfortable, like digging up into your skin and itchy and everything. But you wore those things for him, drove all the way down there wearing those things, moving around in that car seat, like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to get there. And you get to his house and you say, "I got a surprise for you." And he's like, "What?" And you pull your pants down and you got on those silver glittery thongs. Yeah, it was really cute. And the reason why I'm telling you all these little things is because it was an experience that was out of this world and filled with joy. But of course, as things go sometimes, nothing's always perfect and little wrenches get thrown into the situation. So I'm gonna tell you first, the one that ended it for you guys, but then there's another one that I'll tell you after. So the thing that really ended this like blissful experience, one thing that you didn't like about him is that he was unsure about his sexuality. He had dated women for many years. I mean, you guys are only 19 at the time, but he had dated women for many years and was just getting into accepting his sexuality. And I think you might have been the first one. Well, you weren't the only. He'll tell you about that in a little while. But you were probably one of the first ones that he had that kind of connection with and made him feel comfortable. But there was one night that he called you and needed some help. He was in the downtown area, which wasn't far from your home, and he had gotten a flat tire. So he asked if you could come down there and help him out, pick him up, take him home. So of course you were like, "Yeah, absolutely." So you get there, pull up, and for some reason he's not in the car alone. There's some girl sitting in there. So he comes out the car as soon as you pull up and says, "Hey, do you mind if you drop off my coworker? I was giving her a ride home. She lives right up the hill." And I was like, "Oh, your coworker? Sure, she seems cool. Fine, I'll drop her off, no big deal." So both of them get in the car and you're like, "Hey, what's your address?" She's explaining where she lives. At this time, there's no GPS, so it had to be, you got to know where you're going or you're not going to be able to get there, or you have to go to a computer and print out MapQuest directions. So anyway, so she's giving you the directions to her home. And it, like he said, it wasn't that far. So you pull up to the house and he says, first she gets out and then he says, "Oh, I'm going to walk her to the door." So you're thinking, walk her to the door? Isn't she a grown woman. Okay. Whatever. You don't say anything to him, but you're just thinking this in your head. So you're sitting there, like, just listen to the radio or whatever, and you're like, wait, why is it taking so long to walk her to the door? This house is right there. Like, you're literally sitting in front of the house. So you look up. This man is making out with this girl in front of her house, in front of you. Like, really? So he comes down the steps, because it's like a house on a hill, kind of. So he comes down the steps. You lock the door. He comes up trying to get in. He, like, banging, like, open the door. And you're like, open the door? Okay, whatever. So you unlock the door. He gets in. You don't ask for an explanation, but you're, like, heated. And then again, like I said, he lives, like, 30, 40 minutes away. So that's probably going to be the longest 30, 40 minutes of your life as you drive him home in complete silence. He doesn't say anything, and you don't say anything. And after this experience, you're probably not going to talk to him for a couple weeks. And at that point, you're over it. And it's a new year. It's 2001. He does reach out to you to apologize and give some weird explanation of, you know, I've been struggling with this. And okay, struggle all you want, but does that equate to you being able to cheat on me? I know you didn't have this commitment yet, but you did feel like he was cheating on you, and he knew that he was doing wrong, which is why he went mute for so long and felt the need to apologize. So that situation ended pretty much as quickly as it started. But this is something else that happened that's going to blow your mind, to where you thought a lot of things were different than they were. Because there's one particular night, again, like I told you, you loved going over there even though it was far away and sometimes you only had about 15, 20 minutes to hang out. There's one particular night when you went over his house and he's like, oh, before you come over, just want you to know my cousin is over here. And you're thinking, like, okay, no problem. Like, I know that you aren't out to your family or anything like that, but if you're willing to have me come over there with your cousin there, fine. So you get there, you speak to the cousin, and then you go upstairs and close the door. And you're in there fooling around. You know what? Actually, this is actually the same time you wore the silver glittery thong, by the way. So y'all are just fooling around, having a good time. And this cousin is just downstairs playing video games. And then he's like, oh, you know, I have to hang out with my cousin. You're like, fine, so I'll just go. So you go, you might stay there for an hour and then you leave. So fast forward 10 years. And that cousin, that alleged cousin that was over his house, you actually meet through a mutual friend. And oddly enough, you meet him probably 5 years before you come in contact again. And you met him through that mutual friend and you went over his house. You were there with his wife. They were married. I don't know, some kind of weird situation. But anyway, so this 10 years later, you come across him again. And he's visiting DC, where you're living at the time. And he's like, hey, I was wondering if you could show me somewhere, have a drink, whatever. You know, my friend that you know as well gave me your number to kind of help me find something to do tonight. You're like, sure, no problem. So you meet him up at this bar that you like going to on Wednesdays, and you guys are sitting there chatting it up, like, hey, oh yeah, I remember meeting you before. It's been a long time, blah, blah, blah. So then he says to you know what? I've been trying to figure out where I met you before. And you're thinking, I don't know. You don't look familiar to me. And he says, do you know a guy named Number One? And you're like, tall, lives in 30 to 40 minutes away from Richmond to the south. And he's like, yeah. Oh, aren't you his cousin? This is what he says to you. And you're like, no, that's not my cousin. That was like my boyfriend. And he goes, how was that your boyfriend? He was my boyfriend. And he told me you were his cousin. And y'all went upstairs. And I knew he was lying. I knew you were lying. You knew what was going on. And you're saying, wait, sir, I was just told that you were the cousin and it was cool. And we were up there fooling around, whatever. Oh, you weren't just fooling around. You two were up there having sex, and I heard the water running after y'all finished. Let me pause for a second. This is such an uncomfortable situation because you are literally supposed to be out here helping a friend out by taking their friend that you only met once out for drinks on a random Wednesday night. And you're being attacked in this bar, being accused of having sex with somebody you didn't, because we'll get to that in a second. You and Number One actually never had full sex because this happened after your situation the year before, and you were not engaging in those activities to that extent because of trust issues and everything, which is pretty normal from the fallout of a situation that you endured such as that. But it was so crazy that he kept saying, I know you were having sex, you knew what you were doing. And you're like, wait, I didn't know anything that was going on. He told me this. He clearly lied to both of us. But for some reason, this guy was just so adamant about making you the villain. But yeah, Number One was a trip. And it was a great experience while it lasted. But you ended up moving on to somebody else that you met on Black Planet, which is another little internet thing. And we'll talk about him a little later because that was a whole other situation. But little Felix, again, I'm telling you all this so you know, like, yes, you're gonna go through some things and you're gonna actually have some great experiences. Although this Number One didn't end up being your forever, it really showed you that there are some amazing experiences to be had, and love is a feeling and also an action. And sometimes, as you will experience with Number One, you both made a point to make things happen until he didn't. Well, anyway, little Felix, I hope you learned something from this situation and you know that you should always stay optimistic and hopeful because there's beautiful things always on the horizon.